Cool. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to gather at your table. We thank you for intervening in our situation, for you have moved to bring us to this point according to your will, according to your plan, according to your purpose. We pray, O Lord, that you might anoint us, anoint the eyes of our understanding, grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We come against every distraction. We ask for sharpness, ask for sensitivity, ask for hunger. We ask, O God, that there be bread for the eater and seed for the sower, that the word that comes will be like the rain that comes, that comes to bring forth a watering. Our prayer is that the entrance of your word will bring light, will bring understanding, will bring quickening, will bring judgment, will bring healing, will bring restoration, will bring a resurrection, will cause us to move forward, to change our positions. We just bless you and glorify your name, who is like unto thee. We just thank you for this opportunity. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I think we should not preach, but I think we should discuss. Because if you preach, it's going to be a one-way traffic. You know, but I think we should share together and discuss, because we need to understand what it is that God is saying, and then we also need to fully understand what it is that God wants us to do to be able to respond, because God is expecting a response from us. It's not like we are going to hear, then we increase knowledge. But I think God is expecting that when the word comes, it's going to move us to make a response. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was trying to touch different things. But today, I will try to go back again. And then we are going to lay. Is it possible to close the doors? We might have some heat, but the noise might be reduced. Maybe leave the door slightly open. Amen. Can we open to Ephesians chapter 1? Part of the problem that we have is that we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. We don't know God's plan for us. We do not know God's purpose for us. We do not know where we are going. We do not know where we are coming from. And then we count ourselves as ordinary people. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Begins to open some of those. Now read verse 3 and 4. It says, Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So who can tell me what is Christ? What is Christ? Say, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What is Christ? Yes? Somebody should. Yes, Rebecca. What is Christ? Say, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Okay, I will help her. The Bible tells us Christ is the eternal Son of God. Is that correct? What is Christ? Sister Ngozi is shaking her head. Christ is the eternal Son of God. Christ is the second manifestation of God. Bible said there are three. They are recorded in heaven according to 1 John chapter 5. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is that correct? Good. So Christ is the eternal Son of God. When did the world begin? When was God born? Okay, he's smiling. When was God born? You don't know when he was born. Okay. For as long as your mind can carry you, Christ has been the eternal Son of God. And then when will Christ die? Will Christ die? Good. So, for as long as your mind can go back, Christ has been the eternal Son of God. For as long as your mind can carry you, Christ will also be what? The eternal Son of God. And the Bible says that he has blessed you in Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know, is that making any impact? Christ is the eternal Son of God. In fact, I can go and sit down because it means somebody is understanding what I'm saying. Amen. That's excellent. Very, very good. That's the kind of thing that I expect that we should produce from this weekend. Okay, who is Christ? Who is Jesus? We'll answer that question. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, you asked the question too. You have a question? Okay. Christ is the eternal Son of God. Then who is Jesus? In fact, I said I can even go and sit down and go home because my mission has accomplished. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the problem we have is that you think you're a teacher, that God made you to be a teacher. This one says he's a lawyer. What's the wrong one? This one says he's a lawyer, so I'm not a lawyer. This one, what are you? A teacher, or which I don't know, agriculture, but I don't know. The wrong one is a food, it is a tourist expert, tourism expert. Hallelujah. The wrong one is really French. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read on. We will answer that question. I'm very, very happy. Hallelujah. Now read verse 5. Okay, verse 4. We read 4 and 5. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So Christ is the eternal Son of God. And then God chose you to be in Him from the foundation of the world. Now, this is where some of the brethren have made mistake, and they entered. They say, okay, so if so now, let me just relax. Once saved, forever saved. Because God has already chosen me, so I don't need to do anything. That's where the problem is. Hallelujah. But there's a little balance. When you balance it, you see that there's no problem. Amen. God has chosen that if you get to control tower and you turn your car to the left, where will it end up? Control tower, you turn left at control tower, where will it end up? From there, where will it end up? Because you keep driving, where will it end up?
He's talking like a
Patakot
man.
No, if I go from here. From here.
Control tower.
And you turn left. Where would you reach? Where would you go to? You end up in Patakot. God has ordained it to. And you turn right. The only place you can end up is on the chance. You can never end up with no one here. It's not possible. That's what the scripture is saying. Hallelujah. God has chosen you that if you do some things, you'll end up in Christ. That's the choosing. It's not that God has chosen that, okay, you, whatever you do, you will go. No. He has determined that if you do so and so and so, you'll end up. Hallelujah. So, while you are alive, is to do those things so that you are. So that this promise become a reality in your life. It's a promise. It's a call. You are called. See, look, God says you can be part of Christ. Part of Godhead. No, you're not God. But God is bringing you. So we are joint hands with Christ. Hallelujah. God has called us to be joint hands. He didn't call us to be God. I don't want to be God. But He has called me to be a joint heir. I'm satisfied with that one. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Since in Christ we are joint heirs. I hope we can get there. Hallelujah. The devil can never flog you again. Hey. Take a lot now. Hallelujah. God has a purpose. Now, in the church, we don't know God's purpose. That is why anything that comes, we are swayed about with all kinds of things. The reason why you are alive is not that you don't have car, God will buy a car for you. You don't have child, God will give you child. Once again, you don't have work, God gives you work. That's not it. Hallelujah. How can you compare? Even if 1,000 years is nothing, compare what we're talking about. We're talking about eternity past. To eternity coming. Hallelujah. So you see that whatever it causes, light affliction that we'll go through, it worketh out a more excellent weight of glory. Hallelujah. So here he says that he has chosen us in him, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, verse 5 is the sweetest place, oh my God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That is big grammar. That just means that God says, I will have not just one son, I will have many sons. But I will have one son. And through him, through all the things he will do, he will open the door so that many sons will come also. So that not just one son, but you have many sons. So Jesus Christ did not come alone. He said that even though he was equal with God, even though he was God, even though he created the world, even though he didn't think that position was something for him alone to grab, that's what he meant. He did not take it robbery. That, he didn't mean that. It's like I asked the brethren, Supposing they write the constitution, they say, you, Ngozi, you are now the president of Nigeria. For as long as you are alive, you are the president. And when you finish, you guys, your daughter, she too will now become president. It's written down in the constitution. They say, no, I love Nigeria so much. Why should only me be? Let other people too come and join. Would you do that? Hey, you reach us all wrong. And you say other people should come and join you. You don't go do that. Christ. He didn't say I will be there. He said he opened the door that he may bring many sons unto glory. That's what he's saying here. That God has adopted us to be called children. That is God's plan for you. That is God's calling. That God has called you to be a son. Hallelujah. But you see, he didn't stop there. He has given us the spirit of adoption. There is a spirit. Someone has been anointed who has the job to make sure you become a son. Hallelujah. So without the spirit of God, my brother, my sister, the engine has knocked. You can't go anywhere. And that's what we're saying, that the foolish virgin has no oil. The oil has buried in the spirit. It's not even in this vessel. It has no chance. Don't you understand? It has no chance. The only way you can have a chance is that the spirit of adoption must not just be in your spirit. It must be in your soul and must be in your body. That's why he said, I know you not that you are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is to feed you, spirit, soul, and body. It is his house. And the purpose of that is so that he might prepare you to be God's dwelling place. Now, I want you to see something. Because if you don't see it, you will have problems. But if you see it, I just go home. What we are talking about is from the foundation of the world. Even before there was a nation called Israel. Do you understand? Do you understand that? Even before God created Israel. And that is the problem that people are having. From the foundation of the world, God proposed that there will be a people in Christ who will be joint heirs, who will reign and rule with Christ. That there will be a man, men created, and that Jesus will be the first man. I don't know if you understand. From the foundation of the world, God chose us to be adopted as children that will have the same right as the firstborn. Hallelujah. That is God's plan from the beginning, right from the beginning, even before they even did anything. Hallelujah. So anything that you know, whether it's Israel or all the things that you're seeing, whether it's Pentecostal church or you're seeing anything you see, all those things are, I don't know, are secondary to your calling to be in Christ. All those things are secondary to the fact that you, we are created to be God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. So when you talk about God's temple, the fact that God created man to be his dwelling place was an original design of God. Hallelujah. But this is something that the church has not come to terms with. Our understanding of what God is doing is limited to our immediate experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now if you understand that, then you know that even Israel, the place of Israel, the place of the church, the place of the Pentecostal church, the place of the things we have in the church, whether they are elders or ministries or ministers, all those things are secondary to the plan of God. The greatest calling you could have got in your life is that God has said, he said, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that what? That we shall be called the sons of. I was sharing with the brethren. I asked God, I said, God, why me? I think you say when something happens, you say, God, why me? You have a sickness, you say, why me? Why would this sickness come to me? Okay, now is the right way around now. The thing has returned. I'm asking God, why me? I don't know if you understand. When you understand, I will ask God that question for 1 year. If you don't, I say, God, why me? Tell me why. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm sure you think you're a big man. No problem. We will take you 30,000 feet up above where you won't see any human being. Yeah. In fact, 30 is even too far. Just 20,000 feet. You won't see any human being on earth. Do you know how far the sun is from here? How many? Okay. How far is it?
Light years.
Okay, so it's light years. Counting in light years. Light years. Light years. The speed of light. Then you start counting years. That's how far the sun is from here. And there are many suns. And God made it. And you rascal. You say you are important. God of Israel. Hey! God of Israel. We are sleeping. We are asleep. But we are waking up. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. We are waking up. When you are awake, the devil cannot stand before you. I'm telling you, cannot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How could the devil have told Adam, you shall be as gods? If Adam didn't have the potential. Do you understand? Eh? If Adam didn't have the potential, how did he tell him? Don't you know that in the day you do so, you shall be as God? There was a potential in him. He saw the potential and he pointed to it. Hallelujah. Now, don't mistake it. That is where we must get to that. You see that one I drew at the boss self? We must go there. Because that is the problem. The reason why you are in this room is because of self. God must settle the issue of self. Because that was the problem of Adam. Hallelujah. The issue why we are here is the issue of the throne. This thing I'm telling you, this issue of Christ. That is the problem of man. And that is the issue that God has. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So right from the foundation of the world, God determined that there will be a many-membered body called Christ. Hallelujah. The question you ask now comes in. Who is Jesus Christ? But before we get there, let me say that the Lamb was what? Slain from the foundation. The devil didn't do anything special. Don't you understand? The devil is never God's problem. Time of the foundation, God's slain. The Lamb was already slain. The blood was working. And by the way, let me tell you. Tell that spirit that comes in the night, the ancestral spirit, say, my friend, sit down. I have a bigger ancestral spirit. Hey! Hallelujah! I have a bigger ancestral spirit. The oldest one. Slain from the foundation. And I ask you, when was the foundation of the world? Do you know? As that spirit said, do you know? Hallelujah. How dare you say you are no worthy man? That is the biggest insult you can give God. You say you are no worthy man. Say, Lord, that has been what? Our dwelling place in all generations. Don't you understand what we are talking about? I'm talking about your roots. It's an anthropology class. I'm telling you your roots. Your root is in God. Hallelujah. But for the experience of life, they allowed you to be an invisible man. How dare you equate yourself, bring yourself low? Hallelujah. Because man has fallen in his faculties. He reckons himself to be like dust. Hallelujah. But we are rising. Say you are rising. Hallelujah. Oh my God, I'm rising. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our dwelling place is in God. Our position is in Christ. Hallelujah. So that the sons of God shall be like what? The stars. We shall shine forth as the stars. Okay, now let me do another one. The man said, this brother, he has completely lost it. Let's not pray for him. Do you know there is a son in you? Hey, God of Israel. So that the son of righteousness will arise. His son is not physical son. It's a nature. It's a nature of life that when that nature comes in you, there is no darkness that can stand. Hallelujah. The sun must arise in you. See, the bride was clothed with what? Was invested. That word means invested with life. We'll come to it. Hallelujah. By the way, those who say dressing is not important, please, can I correct you? Just allow me small. Those who say dressing is not important, dressing. Can I correct you? One of the most important things is the dress you wear. Dress is a priesthood. Dress is a consecration. Hallelujah. Is this the temple of God? Is this the temple of God?
Yes.
Talk now. Don't be afraid.
Yes.
Is this the temple of God?
Yes.
How dare you wear anything on God's temple? Hallelujah. Took the whole of Exodus 38. What is this addressing? Talk now. Don't worry. All of us. The whole of Exodus 38. What is this addressing? The dressing of the priest. Hallelujah. So you must wear him holy garments. And you must anoint it. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus of Nazareth. Your dressing speaks of your consecration. It speaks of the anointing in you. It speaks of your personality. It is an honor. Hallelujah. It speaks of who you belong to. Hallelujah. Suppose it doesn't matter. I can wear anything. Who told you? That tell the homosexuals. They tell you it's important what they wear. When they dress, they make a statement. You put a left earring. Hallelujah. Why not on the right? It has to be on the left. Oh my God. The church must wake up. Hallelujah. Let the sister leave trousers alone for the brothers. God gave that word in the Mediterranean land where there is winter. Am I in order?
Yes.
Huh? That word came where? In the Mediterranean, in Israel, there is winter in Israel. God said, let the men know where what belongs to the women, and let the women. So someone say, oh, I'm cold. No problem. Go and ask the Jews. The Jewish women don't wear trousers. I've seen them. When it's cold, they wear something else. Let our sisters wear that. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Okay, you're not in agreement. Say amen. Hallelujah. A man must not dress like a woman. A woman must not dress like a man. It is a homosexual spirit. And they have succeeded. They started in 1964. They began to push the limit. They call it unisex. Today, it has happened. Now, men can marry men. That was where they were going to. Hallelujah. So, you make your low-cut hair and all those things. So, I don't want to get distracted. But those are just side issues that we need to settle. And by the way, God said, anybody contending with dress is in the outer court. Now, ask God. Hallelujah. Anybody contending with dressing is still in the outer court. That's what God said, though. Hallelujah. Amen. That is not a problem to us. Hallelujah. The problem of the trouser is that it shows off all your body. That is the problem of the trouser. The brothers cannot pray in church. Let us speak the truth. The brothers cannot pray in church. Hallelujah. So the issue is not the flowing ground of the men. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's not the issue. The issue is, in fact, that is not about ourselves. In our own context, we know what a woman's dressing should be. So let it remain that. Hallelujah. In my place, during one time, all the men dressed like women. all the women dress like men. Is it not so? Yeah, but Pele is not here, I've told you. During one time, it's a festival. December 31st, all the men dress like women. All the women dress like men. Because that is the way that spirit is worshipped. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll get to dressing later. We're going somewhere. So the blood of Jesus was shed from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And that sacrifice is the biggest. There cannot be any other. But you see, it was a sacrifice that was done in the spirit. So the blood of Jesus is a spirit. And that is why nobody in this room has seen that blood. Has anybody seen that blood? Hallelujah. But we know it speaks. We know it works. We know it's real. We know it's effectual. Hallelujah. That is the foundation at the beginning. That was what God did. Now, there is something about it. And the reason why I'm giving you this story. Now, why did God not make a substitute? Why did he have to die himself? Say God was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's God himself. And if you understand that, then you understand your response. If God himself gave himself for you, the least you can do is to do what? Hallelujah. What is the least you can do? The least is to do what? Is to give yourself. Hallelujah. If God himself gave himself, so that means that all this goat and bull was temporary, was speaking to the reality that is coming when a people will give themselves. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament, right from the beginning, had limitations. Because he could not address the real issue. The real issue is you. The real issue is me. And God did his own. You couldn't have fought God. You said, why? Well, he didn't love us so well. He had to make the substitute. He said, I myself. There's nothing greater. He gave his all. Completely, totally, unconditionally for you. And the least you can do is just to do exactly the same. To give yourself completely, totally, unconditionally back to him. Say, we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is the beginning. That is the foundation. And at the end of time, that which was from the beginning must begin to speak. Hallelujah. From the end of time, God proposed that the real sacrifice, the real thing that he wanted to do was not with the bulls and goats. It was not even with this tabernacle that we are drawing on the board, that physical dwelling. It was only a pointer to the real tabernacle. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Hebrews says there are two covenants. The old covenant and the new covenant. And he said the new was a better covenant, upon better promises, upon better structure, upon a better priesthood, upon a better articles of the covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God's temple is who? Who is God interested in? God is interested in, what do people call it? A Wednesday Road Fellowship. What is your name? call yourself that. What are you? There's one in Port Harcourt, they say it's MIS Fellowship. I said, okay, very good. Let me tell you something. God is not interested in MIS Fellowship or whichever one is there. Wednesday Road. That is not God's business. Wednesday Road Fellowship is a platform to bring people together so that the will of God, this matter of adoption, this matter of sonship, this matter of the temple of God can be done. Hallelujah. God is not building temples made with hands. He's not building a movement or a system. Somebody say, my fellowship is better than your own. In fact, God will laugh. He says, it's a child. He doesn't understand. Because it's not interesting whether your fellowship is bigger or smaller, or shorter or longer, or there are 2 people or 1,000 people. Do you understand? It has nothing to do with God. God is interested in the quality. What are the people there doing? What is their understanding? What is their focus? Where are they going to? Do they know what is in God's plan? Hallelujah. You know what that? You can sing and dance better. Or when you sing, the roof falls down. Eh? Roof has come down. How about the house? House! Hallelujah. You have found your wife. I think we are married. God wants his own wife. That is his business, oh. Hallelujah. Amen. God to Pharaoh. This is not joking matter. Somebody will die. Somebody will die, oh. I want my people to worship me. Somebody will die, oh. Let my people worship me. The man was playing. God said, okay, now you see. Amen. You know the history. And I'm telling you now, God says, I want my wife. Brethren, God is saying, I want my wife. I want my son to comfort. And let none of us stand in the way. I'm telling you. Because stand in God's way, oh my God. Hallelujah. The game has changed. Hallelujah. God has stepped into the matter now. Because the time has come. Hallelujah. So we're talking about God's purpose, God's calling, and what God had in mind at the beginning, to have a people. A people. Hallelujah. Okay, let me ask you a question. Who are you? Who are you? You. Hallelujah. Yeah, you have 2 legs, you're walking on the road. Do you know who you are? Hallelujah. Now, think about it. Who are you that God will dwell inside you? Do you know who God is? And God say, you are my dwelling place. You are my dwelling place. Hey! Hallelujah. There is something unique. But say, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose his soul? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God made man for his own purpose, to minister to him. And those of us who are married, be very, very careful. Because God has given you a chance to relate with his body, his own body. Say, it's of his flesh and of his bones. Hallelujah. And that's why the devil wants the body, because he knows that it belongs to God. He wants to mess it up. That's why you see men, he's doing everything he can to diminish, rubbish, make man look nonsense and rubbish, because he knows it is sacred to God. Hallelujah. You know, God, the devil knows what man means to God. So it's okay, before you get there, this thing that is special to you, I will make it look so common. Hallelujah. But God says, he will not leave my soul in hell, or suffer his Holy One to see corruption. We shall arise. Hallelujah. And we are rising. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So from the beginning, God had a purpose. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. So down the line, there had to be a manifestation of that which was done at the beginning. And that's where the man, Jesus Christ, comes in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the manifestation of the Son of God on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So one day he had to be born. He was born. He came. He said that God was in Christ Jesus. So he came as a man. He brought himself down as a man to show you the pattern of who you should be. Hallelujah. We are not going to be. He said that we do not yet know what we shall be. But we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. We are to be like him. So Jesus is the pattern of how all the other sons of God should be. It's a pattern. And it's a pattern because there's, you see, if the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, if the same spirit dwell in you, that same spirit will do what? Hallelujah. So he has given us the spirit of adoption to conform you to the image of his son. Not the image of another brother, of your sister, of your husband, of your wife. But there's a spirit working in you to confirm you. Hallelujah. Now the problem is that for many believers, the spirit is not functional. The spirit, at best, they just got born again, and that is it. They are just quickened. The problem of man is in the soul. Hallelujah. The nature of man is a nature of darkness. It's a nature of rebellion. Nature of self. Hallelujah. When Adam sinned, there was a spirit of rebellion that entered into him and changed his nature. It changed your nature and changed my nature. Hallelujah. Now, somebody says, maybe I get born again, everything was changed. It couldn't be. Hallelujah. It couldn't be. Because it means you don't understand the depth of the problem. The depth of the problem is that the nature of the soul changed. The nature of the soul changed. And God says, I have a solution. Says, I will write my law in the inward part. Because in the inward part, that will make me to know what? Truth. Hallelujah. Now, the old covenant did not address the inward part. So it was limited. The old covenant did not address the man. The man only laid hands. And the goat represented him, his life. So God said, okay, the law is a schoolmaster to teach us until we come to the fullness. Hallelujah. So that's why I wrote on the board this today. I said, the outer court is different from the holy place. But for many brethren, many people, we are still hovering around the outer court. We have not really started addressing the issue. The New Testament begins in the holy place. I don't know if you're understanding. The New Testament begins in the holy place, not in the outer court. And in Hebrews chapter 9, who knows, was the outer court mentioned? Hebrews chapter 9. Okay, let's read it. In the New Testament, when they were describing this tabernacle, they did not mention the outer court. Please, don't sleep, don't sleep. If you feel like sleeping, wake up. Hallelujah. Yes? As what? Yes, sir. To go forward, I'll answer your question. The question is that, as a matter of fact, the New Testament does not recognize the outer court. In the New Testament, you are outside, you are either outside or you are in. Because it said that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be broken. In the New Testament, that's why I'm saying, I'm very sorry, brethren. So you see, if you ever identify yourself with your flesh, you're out. You cannot function. Because this priesthood is a priesthood of those who do not have father or mother, who do not have beginning or end. It's not a carnal thing. You understand? It begins when you break through the flesh. Because it's a priesthood of Melchizedek without father, right from the beginning. So the only way you enter it by the Spirit. You are brought into it by the Spirit. Okay? So when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says you are in the Spirit. Do you understand? You get born again and you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But our origin, the experience we have had, is that we have these veils in our minds, which is good. It's a teaching, you know. But you see, what it means is that a people must break through the veil. And you see, the veil is very, very particular. If you are married, you have a lot of veils. You don't need to look for it. They're all over the place. And you must break through those veils. The more you break through, the more you come into the liberty of Christ. Hallelujah. So it's a very practical thing, not theory. We must break through the veils. And as you break through the veils, you find yourself in the presence of God. You find yourself walking more and more. And not just that, the most important thing, as you break through the veil, the Spirit of God now begins to walk, now begin to bring forth the New Testament in you. Say, I will put my law in your heart, in your mind. Now, how can God write in your mind when you have not presented your mind to Him? And that is the problem. That's why I was giving you the foundation of the church. Because the foundation of the church we have known, is the church where what is important is your physical presence in church. You come to church, you clap in, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, it has served a purpose, but we have gone beyond that. Because what God is interested is what now? Your mind, your emotion. So if you are clapping her, and you have not forgiven your sister, you are in the Old Testament, old order. Because your emotion is what is more important to God. Because it says, I will write my law in the inward part. And so what the devil does, like God, the devil takes their mind, the young people take their mind, take their emotions, take their desire. They begin to like one boy, their fellowship and their dreaming of the boy. But they're physically present in church. So mommy cannot talk. I'm there now. Is it not so? Is it not so? Talk now. We are all together. I didn't say you did anything. I didn't say you have a brother. But that's what is happening. Yeah, then the mommy said, she go, hey, I'm here now. No problem. But in their mind, they're cooking at home. Even the sisters, they are here. Let me now make my list. Their fellowship is going on. You're making the list for the week in church. Brother is planning his work in church. Hallelujah. Brethren, I don't know if you know where I'm going to. We have walked in this way, and God said it is old order, and that is why there is no power. Hallelujah! You come to church, and everything is right. There is no love. You guys stay at home. In that fellowship, there is no love. No problem. Stay at home. You know, on the when you are tired, you come back, because you say that is not the beginning. We must solve this problem. Hallelujah! And the solution starts with me. Where does the solution start? With me. I must change my orientation. Hallelujah. I ask God, I say, God, what does it mean to? He says that the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's what? In liberty. I said, and when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be broken. I ask God, what does it mean? God says, when you bring an offering to me of your heart, I'll break the veil. Hallelujah. Now, it's not you that will break the veil. It's the Spirit of God that will break the veil. But first of all, you must present yourself. I say, God, I give you my mind. I give you my emotions. I give you my will. I give you my desire. That is me. You. You are your soul. But how is it that the New Testament, the so-called church of the, you know, the so-called church, the Pentecostal church, the whatever church, our whole thing is based on the old order. That is physical thing. Hallelujah. The man has given a big offering. The man here has come to church. He comes every day. No problem with all those. Those ones are okay. But brethren, God is saying we must go beyond. The only thing that will make us say you have come out, yes, there's a first come out, this is a second come out. This is a real come out. Hallelujah. When we begin to present our mind to God, when we begin to present our emotions to God, our desires, our will, you say, God, I reject that old man. I want, you say, put on the Lord Jesus. Is it not so? And put off the new man. That's what Paul was saying. Hallelujah. He said, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. See, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Hallelujah. Brethren, that's the new priesthood. That is the new order. And for this one, the devil does not have an answer. Now, God gave me a teaser. How many people here are struggling with certain things? Don't wave. Just wave inside your heart. Hallelujah. There's something you're struggling with. Just wave inside your heart. Hallelujah. Me, I'm waving publicly. But you can wave. You can wave inside your heart. You are struggling with something. Hallelujah. Me, I'm waving. I'm struggling with the besetting sin. I say, God, deliver me from this nature. But you can wave inside, though. No problem. So that. Hallelujah. God told me. The root of it. Let me show you the root of it. Hallelujah. Self is the problem. Hallelujah. When God deals with self, there will no more sin. Sin will vanish the day God deals with self. And it must be done now. If it doesn't happen willingly, and 90% of the time it will not happen willingly, there is only one catalyst God uses to destroy. You know what it is? Okay, let me write it on the board. It's called what? Trouble. So get ready for trouble. Hallelujah. Trouble must come. So that's why there's a time of trouble coming. The purpose of that is to drive as many people as possible inside. Some will see the trouble and go back. Those who are not the real ones, they didn't really want. Hallelujah. But those who really want God, when they see the trouble, they say, no, okay, now, I have to make a choice. Do I die or I move forward? Hallelujah. So self is a problem of Adam. Of the nature. Self is a God. Hallelujah. I functions as God. And in some cases in the Bible, it is referred to as the beast. I don't know, I suspect I'm going too fast, so I don't want to bring in too many things at the same time. But I'm trying to lay a foundation before we can even go forward. We're not talking about sin or attack God, say, I want to be born again. We have been discussing. I say, most of the time when we come, we major on the attack God, that we don't really face the issue that bothers us. The thing that bothers us is what? Self. Somebody said that is the knowledge of good and evil. That is the problem. And God cannot allow you get to the throne. Remember, your journey is to the throne. That's why I spend all the time telling you about Ephesians 1. Your journey is to the throne, to be a joint heir with Christ. Now, do you know, the lawyers will tell us, those of you from the village, if you know a little bit, how can you make a man who is rebellious, you give him authority? You know what he will do? He will kill everybody first, so that he now becomes the king. Hallelujah. So, for God to allow any of us to become joint heirs with him, what question will he sort out? There is something, he must sort out the issue of loyalty. Isn't it not so? He must ensure that you are first loyal to him. Hallelujah. Because the problem of the world has been rebellion. Adam, he said, you shall be as God. You had the potential to be as God. God knows that you are God. You are Elohim. God is not Elohim. Do you understand? He is Jehovah. They call him Elohim. He never said, I'm Elohim. Hallelujah. Say, I am Jehovah. Man was created in the nature of Elohim, of gods, rulers, angels. That's the nature that man has. So Adam said, you shall be as gods. Declare your independence. You can do this. God knows that the day you do, you shall be as gods. So he began to minister a pride, and he bought it. Adam was part of the coup. Hallelujah. A man fell in the rebellion. Now, the root of sin is rebellion. The root of transgression is what? Self and rebellion. Now, there was a time when the message about the lordship of Christ was strong. There was a time it began to come about the lordship of Christ. But we lost it. Because everybody began to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ. So we don't know what it means to be Lord. Hallelujah. To walk in the lordship of Christ means that you have surrendered everything. You don't have any right. Self doesn't come in at all. It's not you. It's not about you. You don't have a voice. But how many of us here don't have a voice? This is my body. I wear what I like. Is it not so? This dress is good for me. Is it not so? It's good for me. It looks good on me. Have you asked the man who owns the body? Have you asked him? Can I wear this? Can I do so and so and so? No. You wake up. Just do it. Hallelujah. So the spirit of rebellion is what you find in the church. It's ruling. And it's raining. You can't even talk. In fact, thank God in this fellowship I can even talk. In some places, I've been biting my tongue. Hallelujah. Amen. And the problem is from the old people. They say we were there at the beginning of end time. So what are you telling? What are you, small boy, going to tell us again? Hallelujah. So the old people are the problems. And in some fellowships, the elders' wives are the ones leading the rebellion, followed by the elders' children. Am I touching base? Say amen now. Amen. Elders' wives and elders' children are the ones leading the rebellion of trouser wearing. Of doing all the things that are doable. You color the hand as much as possible. I even hear they now remove the eyelashes. And then we use all the wrong chalk. And then try it like this.
Okay, sorry, not that.
Elders, wives, and children.
I don't want to do
it. Let us leave the pastors alone. No? Pastors, now we are talking inside. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm just following mommy to church. You have your own God. You are the ruler of. He says, it's my life. Who told you it's your life? So somebody says that you are bought with what? Somebody paid. Hallelujah. If you own yourself, just walk out. Go and do anything you want. Then we'll know that you own yourself. But don't come here and tell us you're a Christian that you own yourself. No Christian owns himself. Hallelujah. There's still room now. It's okay. If it is like this, then I can go back. Bye-bye. In fact, we made an announcement in church, right? We expect that on Sunday, we will see less people. Can we make the announcement here? That after this teaching, there will be less people here because some people would have realized that, look, this is too strong. I can't continue. So let me stay at home and leave them. They are not making the tea too hard, so let me stay at home. That would be a very welcome development. Hallelujah. Because we know how many we are. Then we can now organize ourselves properly and then move forward. Hallelujah. Amen. The mixed multitude and the house of God is causing a distraction. Can I say it again? The mixed multitude in the house of God are causing the distraction. Do you know why? When you want to call an IBG, say it's the same people that will come now. Why do we need to call an IBG? That's for people, they will never come. You want to have time to see God's face. Say they don't need the same people will come. Hey, now, because those are the real people. Hallelujah. So what God wants you to do, do it. Amen. Don't look at faces. Because there are people who will never, because they are not part of you from the beginning. Hallelujah. Bible said that the mixed multitude, they are the ones that they hungered after the garlics, after the cucumbers. On Sunday, somebody was bringing that word in church. So the mixed multitude was the one that cried, take us back to Egypt. These were not the real people. And they were the ones that began to cry and to weep. Why did he bring us to this place? It was a mixed. And God said there is a mixed multitude in your midst. Hallelujah. And you know what? There are people who have turned back. This is where we are. At the golden altar. There is an offering in the golden altar. What do you offer in the golden altar? That's what we're talking about, self. Your mind, emotions, desires, and the will. That's what you offer there. Hallelujah. But somebody says, like my brother was asking, if you are in the altar court, that means you have not finished running with the horsemen, the footmen, to even talk of entering. Hallelujah. Do you understand the double jeopardy? That is, you have not entered first, to even talk of offering the mind. And that is where somebody must change position. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody must decide, say, it is enough. I must change my position. Now, there are people who have gotten there and they have turned back, says, this thing is too hard. This is a strong word. I can no longer continue. I cannot. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are not of them that draw back to the saving of the soul. But we are of them that press on. If you go back, it's perdition. I remember you are going back to hell. But there are people that are pressing on. And this weekend is going to do two things. It will encourage some people to decide to press on. And God forbid that any of us will determine to go back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God forbid that we will say we will not go forward. But we will say to God, I will, you know, okay, then I will not go back, but I will go forward in Christ. Now, there is one little thought I want to bring. Maybe we will just take a short break. And it is the principle of atonement. Atonement. In fact, the Bible calls it the day of atonement. Now, the reason why I'm bringing it is because many of us do not know where we are. They will ask you, what is God's program? Where are we in God's program? What is God saying? What is the next thing that is about to happen? Is it so that I will marry a wife, have children, and then drive in car? I will be dropping my children in the Ikenebu primary school and picking them up. Then in 20 years time you'll die and go. Is that why you are here? Is that why? But you know it is the ambition of some people. Sister Wanya is the only one picking children and dropping. Me too, I want to grow up and marry wife too. Marry husband. And learn how to drop children and pick children. Hallelujah. When you're coming to church, you carry your baby food. Let me also do like other people. It is an ambition, though. Hallelujah. I'll be like the Brachiba. I should be driving my big car. I'll be like a big boy. And I'll go and miss. Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, then we have all men most. It's a miserable life, brethren. Hallelujah. There is a purpose. There is a plan. There is a purpose and there is a plan. The plan of God, I'll go back again to the new covenant. He says, I will make a new covenant. Say, Bible said that by saying he will make a new, that means the old, he's setting it aside. In the old covenant, he did not address your mind. He did not address your emotions. He didn't address how you react. And can you understand why God will allow somebody to offend you? Because it's essential. You must be offended. Offenses must come. Hallelujah. There must be somebody that will do something that you say, this one I will not forgive. Let them talk from here to tomorrow. I will not forgive. It has to arise. Hallelujah. Because you must have opportunity to either accept or to reject. Hallelujah. Somebody say, oh, when I come to church, the fellowship is perfect. There is no way. The church, this fellowship is not perfect. The one I'm coming from is not perfect. You yourself said you're not even perfect. So if you're not perfect, why are you looking for a perfect fellowship? Answer now. Eh? You are not perfect, but you want a perfect fellowship. These brethren are not behaving. Nobody came to visit me. No problem. They didn't visit you. Thank God. Pray for them. I forgive them. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, you're not convinced. If your father died, they didn't come to visit you. They didn't even buy any gift. They were giving others 20,000. They only gave you 5. That time they said there's no money. Nobody even laughed at you. No problem. You don't have any choice but to do what? Forgive your brethren and pray for them. Hallelujah. If you carry long face, you're out. Don't you understand? If you carry long face, you are talking about your emotion. That is the article that is important for you to move forward. Hallelujah. One bro came and met you, said, I love you. Okay, now, so now, at least somebody can recognize he wants to marry me. Tomorrow, the man say, I don't agree again. I've seen a better wife. See, that's how these stupid boys will be doing. The unbelievers are better than all these boys in fellowship. That's how these stupid boys are doing. What's going on? Hallelujah. It is an example and an opportunity to overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So what you have is that fellowships decide to remain in the outer court or to rise, depending on your response. God will test you. Your emotions must be tested. That is how God writes the law. Hallelujah. Say, I will put my law in your inward part. Somebody, one of your uncles must see your father's land. Hallelujah. What would you do? You wake up at 12 midnight. Let my enemies die. Die, die, die. Die, 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 die. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. There must be something to overcome. Hallelujah. Love is a commitment. It is unconditional. I will love my brethren. Unconditional. You know, so when they love me, then I love them. That is the perfect church. It doesn't exist anywhere. Say, he first loved us. While we were yet sinners, he loved. Unconditionally, gave everything. Hallelujah. And he expects us to restore the same thing. Hallelujah. That is the offering of the soul practically. Hallelujah. That will bring our inward parts. There was an offering called peace offering. You find it in Leviticus chapter 3. So that when you bring the peace offering, the peace offering is not the sin offering. The sin offering is still out of God when the man has sinned. But this is the real offering. It's a thanksgiving offering. It's an offering of peace. It's an offering of relationship. It's an offering of consecration. You say, you bring the goat. It was goat then, but God is talking about you now. Say, my son, bring your heart. You say, when you bring the goat, you bring the fat. The fat speaks of the most desirable, the strength, the choicest fat. You bring the fat. You bring the kidneys. You bring the inwards and you offer it to God. You burn it. You say, it's a sweet smelling savour. Do you understand? That you bring your emotion, you say, God, I give you my emotion. in this fellowship, I give you my emotion. Nobody is going to hurt my emotion. Can you make that decision? If you have not come there, you are wasting time. You will not go anywhere because you will be hurt. You want to run away because you are hurt? Run now. You go where you stay, and then the serpent bites you in the house, you come back. And by the time you come, maybe your brother have gone too far. Hallelujah. You must make up your mind that I will love. Hallelujah. I will love despite my rejection. Hallelujah. And if you are married, it's even better. Or it could be worse. Hallelujah. Because you see a situation and say that this one, I will not. Amen. Hallelujah. So the church needs to come to the place of, it's called brokenness. It's called brokenness. Where God has dealt to the man and there is brokenness. Hallelujah. The man used to be strong, now he's weak. That is, he has brought his fat and there is no more fat left. No more strength to fight one another. No more strength to, you know, we are strong. Nigerians are strong people. We have energy. Hallelujah. Say amen now. We have energy. See the noise. If you go into other countries, there's no noise. Everywhere is quiet. They see us now. Noise. They just rubble, fall and rise and make noise. A lot of energy. And God says He must take a lot of fat from us. We need to bring it willingly. Hallelujah. Say, God, I offer my strength to you. That is, you are right. You saw the vision. God said, God told you that this will happen. You told them. They said, brother, we are here, sit down. We are going that way. That is what sheep do. Have you, your agriculture man, you know so? Sheep, you say, go here. You say, eh, okay, I've heard. I'm not going there. I'm going this way. Sheep. The people of God are sheep. Hallelujah. God does it to test you. Moses said, hey, will I bring water, you rebels? God said, no, okay. It's not fast. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Do you understand what God is talking about? Say, ye rebels. I know. Say, these are my people. They're not rebels. But they were acting like rebels. God said, they are not rebels. I didn't give you authority. Hallelujah. You want to be in church? You must make up your mind to give your emotions to God. Say, God, nobody will hurt me. And the only way is that you have a big heart. Anyone that comes, you receive it, I keep a smile. Hallelujah. When the match is, say, God bless you, sister. It's not very easy to bless a man that has matched your feet. Hey, if a man match you, you do me, I do back. God will go bless. Hallelujah. That is devil theology. God is talking about brokenness. A broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. That is where he's bringing the church to. And that is the church that is breaking through. That the church has come to the point where the husband has made up his mind. Say, I will love this woman. The woman has said, my husband, I must love him. That's one side. I talk about brethren. He said, this is my brother, I will love him. Whatever he does, he's my brother. Hallelujah. I will cover his nakedness. Then the other one says, I will cover her nakedness. Brethren, that's where fellowship starts. Hallelujah. But see, we can come to a point when we decide, say, well, I'm not ready for this. I only love those who love me. I only visit those who visit me. I will only give to those who give me. I will only do this. Hallelujah. And that is a carnal place. And that is what you find all over the place. But God is looking for something different. A people broken. And it comes from the point of brokenness. That self must be broken. You know, so I was going to talk about atonement. Atonement is the principle of being fully restored back to God. The principle of reconciliation. The soul rebelled against God. The Bible says the soul of man is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It's not subject. He does anything he wants. Then how is God going to bring that soul back? How is God going to restore it? Well, it stands to the process of the outer court, where the man has to first of all come in. God brings you in. You come to the place of consecration of the blood. You confess your sins. And then you come, the man is washed. He is cleansed. He comes to baptism, water baptism. He comes into the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Then work starts. That soul has to be brought into the realm of the Spirit. And that is the place where the church has not been able to advance, to touch. Hallelujah. So my soul and your soul must make a journey, beginning from out, and we are going to go in. That is the journey that you have to make, that I have to make. Hallelujah. I remember in the New Testament, there are no barriers. These veils are not there. It means we must break through the veil. We must break through the barriers of the flesh. And I want to say again, any spirit, any ministry that makes allowance for the flesh is not from God. Hallelujah. Anybody that tells you you cannot overcome, don't mind all those that are telling you. Just carry your bag and go home. Then you don't need it. You may not see it there, but in a few years' time it will fully manifest. Hallelujah. Because any ministry from God will tell you, you must overcome the flesh. Hallelujah. It is the purpose of God to bring us to a point where you break through the veil. Now the question is, what is the veil? What is the veil? I'll tell you. The veil is the world. Worldliness. I have never seen the people that love the world like end time people. We love the world. Even the Pentecostal people were criticizing. Now we do more than them. Amen. Have you attended end time wedding before? Go to people. Pentecost has some limits. Hallelujah. End time people, there are no limits because we are end time. We are God's favorite children. Amen. Clap for us. Hallelujah. Amen. The sisters are dreaming of long cake. Yes. They are dreaming of veil. Say, my wedding will be so and so and so. End time. Hallelujah. Because we have lost our calling. The salt is gone. No savor. We are like the world. Hallelujah. The Bible says, love not the world. But people, the empty time, no. We can love some of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. The amen is not strong. Okay, maybe I'm not preaching well. Maybe, is there a problem with me? Hey, let the amen be strong now. Let it be strong. Hallelujah. End time people, do we love the world?
Yes.
Okay, now I want to look for trouble now. Okay. Your salary, your salary is 30,000. Your brother's salary is 1 million a month. You know so? But you want your children to dress like his children. Does it happen here? Does it happen here? Okay, this is a very wonderful fellowship. Pray God bless you. Your salary is 30,000. The other one, his salary is 1 million. But you want your children to go to the same school, to dress like the same. You want to ride the same car. You want to eat the same food. Does it happen here? Oh, Jesus, what did I do now? Your salary is 30,000. Your salary is 30,000. The other brother, his salary is 1 million. He does like this. Anything he wants, he will buy. You have to plan for 10 years to do. Every day, your mind is going up and down, up and down, up and down. That's what you find in the end time. All of us will ride the same car. We must wear the same dress. Have you seen phone? The brother is earning 30,000, but his phone is 500,000. Slide. Hallelujah. Blackberry. Hallelujah. People should talk about Blackberry. Slide. Chanaram. It will make cream cream. Say, I must buy it. Hallelujah. Brethren, let me tell you, we must repent. End time church must repent. We have become worldly. The worldliness is too much. Say amen. Now, oh God, what did I do? Amen. The thing is too much. Amen.
Amen.
If you have only one shirt, you wear it every day. Eh? Whose problem is it? God said you are going to be a joint head. That's what's important. Hallelujah. Whether I wear a rubber slipper or I wear this, is it what they will ask you that day? Whether you wear a rubber slipper or you ate one day, you do eat conflicts. About eat conflicts. About eat conflicts. What is the problem? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
If you drink garri and put granite inside, bless God. God will use it and make you, in fact, you won't have cancer self. It's when you start eating all the meat that problem will come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to wake up. Comparing ourselves with ourselves. You know, and so the carnality has come so much that it is not a distraction. Bro, you are going to say something. Yes. Who are preaching?
Yeah.
Is it those who are preaching?
Not necessarily those.
But part of those. That's part of the problem. I agree. We are part of the problem. Okay, go ahead.
The message of this entity.
Okay.
Like a city without a wall, what fence was built. You know, people they are left, you know, with that freedom of doing it. Anyhow, you like, especially people that they are not ready. We are not ready for, you know, that kind of freedom. It's like when you give a young person very wise that warning, like what we see in our eyes. If an individual is unable to cope, and you see him going off without telling you,
I agree with you.
What the problem is, for example, what the spirit of God has put in your hand, for example, that is, you know, touch, blessing. You know, in those days, nobody will talk about it. And no, you have the freedom. Anything you like, blessing you have, and all that. It doesn't matter. Blessing doesn't matter. This is health. We will bring worldliness, flesh, problems, and health will bring us from where we want to be in the holy place, then we bring it to the goodness of down to the outcome. That is the things is later that we have been teaching me that one who is in the outcome is that is the outcome is a place that shall set
boundary. We have
it here.
God bless you.
It's serious.
God bless you, brother.
It's yesterday. I don't know how to do it. Before then, before I came and the thing came up, and I was at home, something occurred to me. I was reasoning and something that was a brother of mine. Somehow I got my and saw him as a man in hell, enjoying life. You know, I saw his house, comfort, pleasure, and all that. And the was flesh.
That's right, sir.
In fact, I was with that before I
came
in here.
Amen.
And he repeated it that flesh is the place that has the self bound with hell. The very thing bound that is from here, Barbara, you are in hell. From there, maybe a little help. So what I'm trying to say is, maybe God will begin to help us.
He has begun to help us.
Okay.
Amen.
He has begun to help us. Like you said this at the time, he has come to do a new
thing.
A new thing.
Amen. Hallelujah. And let me qualify it. Sorry, this is not working. It's not working.
Hello.
Now, let me define hell. Hell is not where you see fire. Hell is the realm or dwelling place of rebellious spirits. That is hell. Hell is the dwelling place of rebellious spirits. Hallelujah. When Adam sinned, he was driven from the garden. Where did he go to? Answer me now. Is it your Bible? He was inside the garden, is it not so? Let me show you the garden. This is the garden. This whole thing is the garden. That's the garden. You are the garden of the Lord. Hallelujah. When he was driven from the garden, where did he go to? He came into a realm where there were rebellious spirits who were looking for a house. So which house do you think they inhabited? They took hold of him, entered into him, and brought him into their domain. There are twofold problems of the soul. That is, the spirits entered into him and began to dwell. Because that was the place God was to dwell. The devil says, I will arise. I will ascend. I will sit over the sides of the north. Over the people of God. So, hell is, in fact, I will talk about the first death. From the first death, we can be delivered from, and that is what we are discussing. But from the second death, which is the lake of fire, nobody can be delivered from. And the Bible says that he that overcometh will not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah. In other words, hell has grace, just like heaven also has grace. Hallelujah. You grow from the outer court to the holy place, to the holiest of all. Men who are in hell, they are in the lower hell, lowest hell. But there is the highest hell. If they don't hear the gospel, if they don't give their soul, where did they go to? They end up in the last hell. Hallelujah. And end time people, we have so desired the things of the world, like he was saying, that we have come down. We have lowered the boundary. We have blunted the gospel. It's no longer sharp. You know? Well, it's no longer sharp. So we come and we are going around. And the truth, God says, that we have backslidden. And the fire has gone out. And while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. But there is something else that I'm trying to touch before I leave. This thing called atonement. I want us to touch it. Because see, that's where God says, that's where we are now. Now, there were three feasts in Israel. Three. The feast of Passover, the feast of Pentecost, and the last one, which is Tabernacles. There are three. Okay? Even when we went today, Brother Uche was explaining that. Because the brother was preaching about Martin Luther, you know, so that was first feast. Passover. Amen. The church has gone through Passover. You know, they've said the church shall live by faith, who have come out, and you know, so it's not a big deal getting born again. But there was a time when it was a big deal. The Bible was changed, nobody could do anything about it. Okay? Now we went beyond that first feast. And of course, on the day of Pentecost,
the church entered the second one. Okay? And even historically, Azusa Street, 1905, 1906, 1907, there was a great outpouring. So the church came into the second feast, is it not so? And since then, you know, Holy Ghost and all that. And it may interest you to know that as far back as 1907, the church rebelled. This same move of God, men organized into ministries. And I told you earlier, God is not interested in your church, that your church is bigger or shorter or longer or what. All this is that. That just requires endless genealogy. What is interested to God is your soul. God is looking for souls. God wants to raise a house for himself. If that house is in Catholic Church, God will grab it. if that soul is in over here, God will. Anywhere. So whatever platform you give to God, God will use. He's not going to discriminate because he's looking for a dwelling place. Anywhere he finds it, he says, looking for a man whose heart is right. Isn't that so? Anywhere God finds it, he takes it. God is not looking for platform. It's not that fellowship is not important. It's important because it gives us the opportunity to come together and to be able to walk, and God will bring forth the perfection. So that has its own measure, but it's not the ultimate. Okay? Now, since 1905 till now, the church has been going around. Can't you see? There remains a yes. We must enter into the real issue. The real issue is tabernacles. There it says, I will dwell. God wants to make his dwelling in you. Because that was the original plan. Original plan is that, you know, that you come here and say you are in there are no fellowship. You clap your hand and go. That's not God's plan for you. God's plan is that you will be the priest. In Hebrews, it says there is a new priesthood. There is a new temple. If there is a new temple, who is the priest in this new temple? Can't you understand? In the old, Aaron was there. Okay? That's the old priest. The tabernacle, the Levites, and all that. But it says he does away with that. He's bringing a new order. And in this new order, you are the priest. Then that should make you to think. Say, so that means God has something in mind for me. So it means in this new order, the priest is inside you. And the priest is actually your mind, your emotions, your desire, your will. That is the new priest. Hallelujah. That is the new priest. That is the new priest. And this priest must be dressed. Okay, I'm beginning to come to where I want to align. This priest must be garmented, must be dressed, must be consecrated, to function as a priest. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of any man who became a priest without consecration? Have you heard? The priest must be consecrated. Even Aaron, they told him 7 days, you stay there, you no movement. And Paul said that the Old Testament is a ministry of condemnation. Hallelujah. He said that the New Testament is a ministry of life. That the old one was so, in fact, it was that Moses did so and so and so. Read in between the lines. If the one that they say is dead, the man stayed inside his house for 7 days, inside the temple, 7 days, he didn't go anywhere. He couldn't marry a whore. He couldn't see his father. He couldn't shave his head. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do this. Of what greater consecration do you think God requires of you and me? That is the question we must answer. Hallelujah. To whom much is given? It is very good to say, oh, we are in the New Testament. Brother, cry, you. The standard is rising. The standard is rising. There are too many people. God said, look, the people with you are too many. 32,000, they are too many. You know what he did? He said, bring them to the water. Let's test them. And that's why God is testing. God is testing the so-called end-time church. And the numbers are thinning out.
Hello. Somebody say, have a reason. I will come to fellowship again because they don't love me. There's no love in that fellowship. Check well, oh. God maybe wants you to prune somebody. Hallelujah. I will forgive them. God wants to prune somebody. Don't you understand? He brought them. Say, let them drink. They just, some people just kneel down to drink. Others, they drop their weapon. Drop, even lose their belt. Say, that's how they'll be disturbing us every time. Let me drink water very well. They do. So don't mind that stupid Gideon. Every day he thinks, let me drink water. God said, okay. All the people that dropped their weapon, tell them to go outside. But those who were fighters, they were still looking at the enemy. They lacked the water. Hallelujah. Amen. God is bringing the people to a place of testing. You know, so the atonement had to do with a reconciliation. The day of atonement had to do with the reconciliation. Now, I was telling you about this last feast. Now, the Feast of Tabernacle had three components. Three. The blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then the feast itself. Okay? Now, for a long time, we have heard this first part of blowing of trumpet come out of Babylon. We heard it. And after hearing it, after some time, we got tired of it. So, okay, don't you have nothing to preach, brother, instead of everything, Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. Preach something else. And some brethren started preaching prosperity. Hallelujah. Have you heard it in that time? Prosperity. Some people, they said, look, in this year, church, if you don't do tarry night, you don't do deliverance service, I'm going to Mountain of Fire Miracle. Let me go and get my breakthrough. Has it happened here? People should talk now. They said, let me go to where it's happening. Hallelujah. And they have gone to where it is happening. Say, my people perish for lack of vision. You don't know where they are. You don't know what God is doing. Hallelujah. Now, but you see, that's not the issue. The issue is that now we have progressed. That's why I'm telling you that there is a change. We have gone from blowing trumpets to action. You know what the action is? It is the Day of Atonement. And God says, on that day, every soul must afflict itself. Hallelujah. That's what God told me. He said, I have brought my people to atonement. But you see, atonement is a very wonderful place. Because it was the day in which all the sins of the people were forgiven. All the sins on that day, when the man enters, he makes an atonement and he brings forth salvation to the people. Hallelujah. Yes, it is a time when God begins to search. God begins to bring you into close examination and scrutiny. But it's also a time of consecration. Now, one of the things he's saying is that on that day, the high priest will take the blood and he will consecrate the sanctuary. He will cleanse the altar. He will cleanse the people. And then he will also do it for himself. And when I saw it, I was so glad. Do you know why? That Hebrew says, and when I went to Israel, I went to the temple. I went there. I went two times. Hallelujah. I was looking at it. I saw the things. I wasn't in the lot of religion. If you think you have this religion, go to Israel. Then you see religion. I saw them. They were rolling on the floor, doing everything. I didn't look at them. I was just there. And I was thinking. I remember Hebrews. That says, if the blood of a goat, could make a physical house clean. That's when Moses sprinkled that temple, it became holy. Is that correct? Do you believe it? The Bible says, how much more the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord decided. If the blood of a goat could make a cement to be holy, how much more that blood that was shed from the foundation, that when it drops on your heart, that said it will purge your conscience. Hallelujah.
brethren, we are coming to the place where you will be holy.
See, he didn't say amen. The Lord is expecting it. You don't believe it.
God said, you are coming to the place where you will be holy.
Man, this temple is going to be holy. Because on the day of atonement, God will make this temple holy. Hallelujah.
He says, 70 weeks are determined for thy holy city.
What is the holy city? Is it Jerusalem? That's why it's not the holy city.
He says, 70 weeks are determined to finish the transgression, to finish the reconciliation of iniquity, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to make an end of sin.
Hallelujah.
By that offering.
Hallelujah. So, there is a new atmosphere that is coming into church. And it is an atmosphere of cleansing. It is an atmosphere of healing. God is cleaning his house. I say, God, start with me. Hallelujah. Do you want to pray that prayer? Say, God, start with me. Cleanse this house. God is not interested in a physical house. In his program, he says, I will bring my people to atonement. Now, let me tell you how to do atonement. The Bible said that they will take the blood and they will sprinkle it. Hallelujah. Now, where there is a blood, the oil must come. See, these are the two principles. They have to sprinkle the blood. Hallelujah. When a man is born again, the oil, the blood is brought to his soul. Sprinkle it. And his sins are forgiven. But you see, that is not the real issue. The real issue is that that soul must be anointed with oil. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is just a preparation. That's why it is an outer courts thing. And many of us here, we are baptized in the Holy Ghost. But you see, it has not done its work. The Holy Ghost must come into your mind. Hallelujah. I don't know if somebody is listening. The Holy Ghost must come into your emotion, must affect your emotion. And it will bring forth what they call self-control. The fruit of the Spirit will be self-control. It will be joy. That's what I'm telling you about 1,010,000. If the Holy Ghost is in you, it will be joyful. It's not money that makes you happy. Hallelujah. Say, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. It's what you eat. It gives you life. Hallelujah. When they tell you go and do so, you don't do it because you have money or you are going to make money. But you are doing it because there is a life you partake of within you. Hallelujah. So, what we find that is going to happen is that the Spirit of God is changing his residence. Hallelujah. He's changing. I think I can draw this here. Last time when I came, I tried to teach on it. Sorry, it's like your break has been thrown away by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Does anybody still want to go on break? Sorry. 30 minutes, 1 hour ago, God said no break. That's why I have continued. Amen. You see what you got break? We should answer now. Okay, you want to go break? Okay. Alright. Okay, we'll break. Let me finish what I'm delivering. Now, this is the soul. This is your spirit. And this is your body. This is the new temple of God. Do you understand? That is the temple. You are the temple. These other temples are a model of you. Hallelujah. This outer court, holy place and holy of God, is only speaking of the temple of your body. Hallelujah. And this is the temple that God had in mind at the beginning. Hallelujah. So you find the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is here. Then you have God the Son. And then you have the God the Father. And the life of God is coming down to the soul. Now in the soul you have the mind, You have the emotion, you have the desire, and you have the will. Hallelujah. When you are born again, the blood is applied to the soul. Because you hear the word of God in your mind. You receive it. And the life of God comes. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Hallelujah. The life of God comes into you. You receive life. And you say you are born again. But you see, it hasn't changed the nature of your mind. Your mind is still dwelling, is still a habitation of hell, it's still Babylon. See, Babylon has become the dwelling of what? A habitation of every unclean good. Hallelujah. So that is God's problem. God must bring your soul out of the realm of darkness into the realm of light. In other words, the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit. But see, that's not the destination. And that is why many of us who are baptized in the Holy Ghost, we have the oil in the lamp, but not in the vessel. Okay? So that's how you have the foolish virgins. So the foolish virgins are here. And this is the realm of the outer court. Because that's where you have baptism, at the liver. This is where you have the baptism. It's outside the outer court. Okay? So the church is majoring on the outside. So they have the Holy Ghost, but it hasn't affected their mind, their emotions, and their desires. So the man is speaking in tongues, but he carries a gun. He's carrying a gun inside his heart to shoot his enemy. He can quarrel, he can do all kinds of things because his emotions have not been dealt with. Hallelujah. Now, it is the experience of tabernacle that now brings him into a place of change where the Spirit of God begins to come into the different dimensions of his soul. The Spirit of God begins to come down. So the soul must be anointed with oil. Yes, he has received the blood, but it must be anointed with oil. You must receive the seed of the Son of God. When Mary was pregnant, what happened? She said that the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. Isn't that so? And there was a seed. Your soul is like that womb. You are that woman. You are Mary. You must receive a seed from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that seed must spread, not just into your spirit, into your soul, and finally into the body. This body will be changed. This body is a servant. Hallelujah. When the time comes, it will change. Hallelujah. He said, we shall be changed. Hallelujah. We shall not all sleep. Hallelujah. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. The last trumpet is the trumpet calling the church to this last feast. That's the last trumpet. And that is the trumpet that God is bringing forth in the church now to say, move forward. So when a man comes, he's preaching, you have to lean over and ask God, which trumpet is he bringing? Is it stale bread or is it new bread? Hallelujah. He's not saying he's not the man of God. He was hearing from God 2 years ago or a long time. Now he has stopped hearing. Hallelujah. The new trumpet is saying, move forward. Okay? So that is what the Day of Atonement is. The Day of Atonement is to prepare the soul so that the Holy Ghost can come in. That is say, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lust. Hallelujah. So they that are in the spirit that will do what? You say, will mortify the flesh. No man can overcome the flesh except by the Holy Ghost. And that is why the Holy Ghost must come into our mind. But how can the Holy Ghost come to your mind when you say you are an indecent man? You wake up in the morning and say, I'm an indecent man. You go for indecent festival. Indecent town meeting. This one, this one, this one. Hallelujah. Brethren, this is practical. It's practical. And God is saying, a people must decide. And I pray this fellowship will be able to discuss and take a decision. Says, where are we going to go? Are we going forward or are we going to go back? Hallelujah. Do we see clearly what God is showing to us? Do we see the things, the options? Say, choose you this day who you will serve. Are we going to serve God or are we going to serve mammon? God is bringing his people beyond Pentecost. Yes, we had that message 20 years ago. It's coming again. Hallelujah. God said, come out from among her. Hallelujah. We must come out from the world. So we made an announcement, and I want to make it here. Do I have permission? Be careful of the permission you are giving me. Do I have the permission? Every tight skirt should be brought and handed over to Brother Dave. Every tight skirt, every tight blouse, all the tiro, all the, you know, all the things. What you would do is put it inside envelope, waterproof bag. Don't write your name. Just drop it carelessly anywhere around. Don't worry, Brother Dave will look for it and pick it. Are we in agreement?
Yes.
Every tight jeans trouser for the brothers. All those things that God said you don't want. All the bangles. You bring it and you submit it. Hallelujah. Are we in agreement? Every weaver that has color, color. Okay, I shouldn't talk about that one. Every weaver that has color, color. Hallelujah. Amen. We know what to do with it. Amen. You know, me, I like the weaver, no? It looks nice. But the problem is that it is a distraction. Hallelujah. You have 10,000, you are earning 10,000 naira. You can buy Yvonne of 15,000. There is a problem. Say amen now.
Amen.
Oh, people are not convinced. I thought we all agreed. I thought we agreed. Yes, that be the same. You are earning 10,000, but you buy Yvonne of 50,000. Hallelujah. Okay, now we're not together again, the fellowship. Okay, I've caused trouble. Okay, forgive me. Hallelujah. Amen. Me, I like the color, color. But we did it in the days of ignorance. Hallelujah. Now we know better. So we said that within 1 week, we will clean up our wardrobe, our dressing table. Will be cleaned up. Hallelujah. Bro, are we together?
Together.
Amen.
What of the women that are wearing
trouser?
Yes.
We're not even discussing that one now. That is the first that must come.
Okay.
Hallelujah. I didn't mention that one because it's all assumed that that one is out. Hallelujah. Okay, I shouldn't assume. So they say trouser is also part of it. Hallelujah. We will bring the jeans trouser and submit. When the sisters wear jeans, they walk like this. You should be walking like a sister. It's not that her sister should be walking. It's also not to walk like brothers, they're walking like men. Hallelujah. Men should be men. And the women should be women. I think it's correct. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We must visit our wardrobe. Amen. We must change our list. And the one God says, bring it and submit it. And the brethren said in some place that they will buy a new one for you. Okay, if you can get a new one, praise God. If you can get, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That is a sign of repentance. That we have repented. We will bring it and we will change. Hallelujah. So if brothers have tight trousers, but change it. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are going to affect ourselves. Your phones, your computers, we are going to clean it all up. How many of the young people have Facebook? Are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook? So, does the mom have the address of your Facebook? She doesn't have. Mommy, you collect. No, don't do your hand like this. Oh, collect the Facebook address and look inside. You clean any photograph that is not of God. What will happen to it? You clean it out. Are we agreed on that? Are you on Facebook? Who else is on Facebook? Okay, the young people. Okay, so give their Facebook to your sister. So you will go and check what is on the Facebook, and any photograph that is not of the right, clean it out. Where is Enyina? Where is Enyina? He's not here. Okay, tell him whether car spoiled or not. Let him submit his Facebook to sister. She will go and look there. And no, they know what I'm talking about. All those photographs that do not meet the prescription, they must come down. Hallelujah. Who else is in school that we haven't talked of? Who? Madam, submit your Facebook number. You don't have Facebook? Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. So all the young people, bring your Facebook and submit. They will look at it and clean it out. Hallelujah. Amen. And you must make sure that it remains so. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have any music that you have downloaded on your phones and pictures? Do you have bills? Okay, so all those things, we are wiping them out today. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is doing a new thing. So maybe we should take a small break. We'll pray, take a small break. And then it's just 7:30. Okay. And then we will come back and then we will enter into a new phase. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you happy with me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm still your brother. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.